Today is a glorious and momentous occasion in the podcasting world, because it's this podcast's first birthday. And I've got a wee treat in store for every one of you fine humans tuning in. Yep, I have no idea how, but we've made it a year down the line. Despite the past 12 months being littered with approximately like 8,397 recording mistakes and retakes, being stressed out my nut and sprouting 100 new grey hairs like every episode, and me actually still feeling like I'm kinda winging it every week in this podcasting world. But listen, we made it, we're still here a year on, and what a year it has been. We've had some amazing guests on the show, talking about how to heal the gut naturally, sharing amazing health tips on everything from nutritional protocols and the importance of faith for reversing things like ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease symptoms, to then the importance of mindset and specific supplements for overcoming IBS. We covered so much over the past year. And we've had some top-notch guests from all over the world, everyone from dietitians and functional medicine experts to gut health authors and even comedians. Stick around for today's episode, where I've got a wee gift for you. So coming up is 10 top pieces of gut health advice from guests that we've had over this past year. Some golden wisdom that will benefit your health overall, actually. And I've condensed it all down to short snippets from each guest, just some of their best bits, all put together in one single episode. And if you're new around here on the For Gut's Sake podcast, my name is Mark McLean. I'm a health and wellness journalist and author. I've had a long gut healing journey myself, which spanned over like 8 years. And this show is all about helping people with colitis, Crohn's disease, and IBS to reverse their symptoms naturally and help you take back control of your gut health. But anyway, enough of the fancy intro stuff. Let's get right into the content now. Okay, so the first guest we're going to focus on is Lexi Heron. That's going all the way back to episode 12. Lexi is a holistic wellness expert and mineral specialist, and she basically teaches that minerals are the foundation of health and well-being. At one point, Lexi was bedridden, she was depressed, things were going really downhill for her health, and then she discovered that mineral deficiencies were a major root cause of her health problems. In that episode, Lexi shared an amazing health hack of drinking mineral cocktails to avoid deficiencies and improve your health.
I feel like mineral deficiencies are more common than they ever have been in the past. And that does come down to the food system and the nutrients in the soil and where we're actually sourcing our food from. But also minerals are, you know, if we look at magnesium, for example, magnesium is the first mineral of defense in the body when someone is going under some amount of stress. So when the body is stressed, whether that's mental, emotional, physical, environmental stress, the body's going to start tapping into the mineral stores to utilize that as a source of energy and to amp up the adrenal glands, to amp up the nervous system. So if someone is low in magnesium in their body and they're trying to handle stress that comes into their life, then that can deplete those mineral stores really rapidly. And then when one mineral gets depleted, the body starts tapping into other sources and so on. And I feel like today where we are against so much, you know, there's so much stress in the world between technology, toxins and pollutants, processed foods, all of that. I mean, I feel like we are in a world where there is so much more stress than there ever has been in the past. And I think that's maybe why we're seeing so many more mineral deficiencies across the board, is because people are running through their mineral stores so rapidly. So the mineral cocktails or adrenal cocktails, that is one of my most favorite ways to get in a bunch of minerals all at once. They're kind of like a little mineral bomb, a drink that has all these minerals and nutrients packed into one. This is one of the first things I recommend to a lot of my clients to implement into their daily routine, because it's just a really simple and delicious way to get these minerals in. So the mineral cocktail or adrenal cocktail, as I like to call it, it is a drink that has potassium, sodium, whole food vitamin C, all packed into one. So one of my favorite recipes for going into, for creating a mineral cocktail at home is half orange juice, half coconut water, and then a pinch of high quality sea salt in there. And that'll get you your daily recommended dosage of potassium, whole food vitamin C, and sodium all in one.
Awesome. That sounds quite simple. And it's sea salt specifically. Is it Himalayan pink salt? Is there a particular one you have to use? Because I've heard of the Himalayan salt being used as well.
Yes, really, you can use any high quality salt that you prefer, you know.
Anna Van Echten is a holistic gut health coach from Christchurch in New Zealand. A really powerful message that Anna shared on the episode was to do what feels right for you when it comes to healing your gut, because healing the gut is definitely not a one-size-fits-all scenario.
We are in a society with a lot of information. There are a lot of different diets. There are a lot of different ways of eating. And there are heaps of different ways you can be healthy and you can heal your gut. That's why I personally believe that there's no one way to heal your gut or one diet, only because I've seen it happen with people with different ways and different diets that they have healed. And so because there is so much information out there, it's like, well, what is right and what is wrong? But that's not really the point. It's more so what do you feel is right for you and what doesn't work for you? Because if there's a new fad diet or something, and it could be researched to work and proven to work and heaps of people were getting results with it, it's like, great, but then it doesn't, it's not going to go into, well, your lifestyle, and maybe you're a mom and maybe you don't get as much sleep, or you've got to feed the kids as well, and you've, and it doesn't always fit in with your lifestyle and your needs. And that's why when a diet or a fad or something comes up, it's more so like, give it a go if you want to. I love challenges and trying new things, but it's more so, what is the intention of me actually wanting to do this diet or partake in it? Is it coming from a place of, yeah, I just want to try something new. I'm actually looking forward to it and I'm all good with it. Or is it because you believe that you're in fear or lack and you don't trust yourself, and when you do this diet, then you'll be enough?
Okay, guest number three was Matt Nagin. He's a comedian from New York who now lives in Alabama, and he's easily the funniest guest I've ever had on the show, or probably will ever have on here. Matt actually got in touch with me about coming onto the show to share his story about putting Crohn's disease into remission. And see, to be honest, I really wasn't expecting the two things that he said were the most important factors in getting well again.
For me, obviously, I'm a comedian, so humor is really critical, and faith. And I'll explain why this sounds a little pie in the sky, but why this is important. Okay, first of all, I understand people are going through it sometimes, and I've been through it myself. It's not always easy to laugh when you're suffering and you're in this miserable state and it's day to day. So I get it firsthand. But if you can somehow shift your perspective and just find those little moments of laughter or little moments of joy, I find personally that it can be very healing. If you can, just as an example of my background, I was very involved with this organization called Gotham Comedy Foundation. The founder healed his cancer by watching like old Marx Brothers movies and stuff like that. And it was very therapeutic. And you can look up online, there's something called laughter yoga, where people will like just kind of intentionally laugh. And it's possibly has some healing properties. I know this sounds a little wacky, and I like to be grounded in salt of the earth. But I've found, you know, being in this comedy world, being in a little bit more upbeat space and vibration can have some benefit. I don't think it's just like you laugh and then you're going to be cured. So I don't want to, it's not the secret. Like you think you're having a good time, you go to a comedy club and now you don't have Crohn's. Let's not promise the sky. You have to also be grounded. But all I'm saying is having that outlet, having that ability to laugh, having that ability to just be human and be alive and feel joy can really benefit you. So that's one key thing. And in terms of the faith, the key essence with that, for me at least, is when I went off the medicines, that had to be, for me, it had to be a leap of faith. because I have a history of surgeries, as you know, blockages. I mean, every doctor I went to, including my own, said stay on these medicines and maintenance, they're safe. It required a certain level of conviction within myself. Obviously, before that, I was weaning off and seeing how I was doing. So it wasn't just like overnight, but it required a belief that I'm going to at least try this seriously and I'm going to be okay, that somehow I'm going to work this out. Before you even do anything, you have to sort of have some faith that this journey could work out and believe that you, like for me, I'm involved in a lot of things and I'm just convinced that I need to accomplish these things and I wanted to live without these drugs and I'm determined to do this at all costs. And that kind of mentality is part of the healing that I think people miss. Like if you're not really in it, it doesn't matter what you do. I don't know that it's 100% going to work. Because I see a lot of people, they do it, they try one thing, they're like, oh, it didn't work, I'm giving up, I'm going back to blah, blah, blah. You've got to really be in it, and there's going to be times where it doesn't always work out perfectly. You have a bad day, you have this. You know, it's not like it's just like some panacea. For me, at least, it's really worked out well.
Okay, we're now on to guest number 4 with another piece of golden health advice. So that guest is Heidi Moretti. She's a dietitian with a big passion for functional nutrition for healing naturally. Heidi is author of the book Gut Fix, and see, to be honest, I wish I had come across her about 10 years earlier. On my own gut healing journey, I read literally, it's got to be about 200 books on health, nutrition, the workings of the body, everything I could basically absorb to try and figure out my own gut health problems. And Heidi's book, Gut Fix, does an amazing job of condensing all the best stuff that you could probably learn to heal your gut. It's an amazing book that I would definitely recommend anyone with gut problems reads. Now, a big takeaway from Heidi in that episode was her talking about her 3 key supplements to take when trying to fix your gut. Let's get into them right now.
One that's fairly easy. I mean, the risk is basically zero and the benefits are huge for so many people, is to get a good broad spectrum digestive enzyme. I talk a lot about that in the book, but it's ones that help you break down carbohydrates, fats, protein, because when your gut is inflamed, you cannot produce the digestive enzymes you need. Yes, your pancreas produces some digestive enzymes no matter what, but the gut lining provides the largest bulk of digestive enzymes. And I think that's a little bit even lost on doctors, that, oh, your pancreas is fine, you do not need digestive enzymes. Well, that's not true. Your gut is inflamed. You do not make the amount of enzymes you need. So that's a number one. The other one is getting a really good high quality multivitamin with minerals is a basic, just, you know, tool that everybody should have that minimum. And most people need magnesium. So it's those 3.
Health tip and piece of advice number 5, which comes from Gary Evans. He is another guest who was away back in the beginning, episode number 10, which was called Forest Bathing, Reconnecting with Nature for Health and Wellbeing. Now imagine walking into your doctor's office and telling him you're stressed, you're feeling anxious, and your blood pressure is a bit high. And he then says to you, here's a prescription for a slow stroll in the forest. This actually happens in Japan. That's where the whole concept of forest bathing originated. We all know how good a walk in the forest is, but there's solid science behind this art of what's known as forest bathing. Forest bathing can lower your blood pressure the same as any medication. It reduces anxiety and it boosts the immune system. So let's hear what Gary's got to say on that.
Forest bathing is a crude translation of the Japanese term Shinrin Yoku. It means bathing in the forest atmosphere, so you need to connect sunbathing to it. It is not bathing in water. It's spending mindful, slow-paced time under the canopy of trees for health and well-being. So it's not a walk and a chat with a friend or family member through the forest at a fast rate. Generally speaking, it's not taking the dog for a walk unless you've got a very placid dog that is just very calm and sits down. Because what you're trying to do in forest bathing is just go in absorb the atmosphere, ideally find somewhere to sit down and then let the birds and the animals come towards you. So you actually get to experience the inhabitants of the forest as well. When we're just present and quiet, we actually get to see a lot of joy in the forest, which if you've heard the sound of happy birds in the spring, how do they make you feel? Generally, it's happy. So it's not the normal type of activities that people are used to doing in the forest. So when people do a forest bathing session with us, so they come hear a bit about the science, and then we take them through the senses combined with some slow breathing like you might find in a mindfulness class. At the end of the session, if you can, whether that's the occasional trip out or a holiday, try and get out in, find areas of natural woodland, ideally ancient woodland if possible, or bigger forests, whether that's plantations, secondary woodland. We know going for a walk in the woods is good for us because we feel better afterwards. So the chemistry of the air, and of course it's the home of fresh oxygen. I mean, a lot of people also don't get access to fresh oxygen. So the trees are obviously providing that. So the message is basically whatever you've got at your disposal that you can get into regularly, please use it. And if possible, get out into bigger forests when you can. Whether it's going into a park, finding a bench, if you want to sit on the grass, and then just seeing what birds or animals are present. Because what most people don't understand is how our physiology works. So if we're walking at city pace in the forest, what that's doing is elevating the heart rate and raising the blood pressure so that we've got plenty of muscles available to move quickly. But what it's doing is taking a lot of the capacity away from our senses. You are paying a price for moving quickly. So if we go now, we stop. Or we just move very slowly, that enhances your sense of touch, sense of hearing, vision, smell. So your body puts a lot more focus into these areas. So suddenly you've got a multi-sensory experience of the forest.
We're now going to rewind back to episode 24, titled How to Heal Ulcerative Colitis Through the Power of Nutrition. This is actually our most popular episode with more downloads than any other episodes this past year. So Anya is a health coach who used the nutritional healing principles of medical medium Anthony William to overcome her own diagnosis of ulcerative colitis. And she now uses those same principles to support other people to do the same. Here's some amazing advice that Anya shared at the end of the episode.
This journey of healing is different for everyone. I've known people who healed in a few weeks, and I've known people who struggle for years and they are still on their healing journey. But the thing about this is you can feel bad for many, many months and then know that inside, if you're doing the right things, things are healing. Things are healing. And then one day things just click and you feel much, much better. It's not linear, right? The healing is never linear. It goes up and down, and then one day you take that bigger step up. Your body just healed so many things in that one moment that you start feeling much, much better. And that in itself is worth the everyday work that you put into it. But I think just the mental work of just believing that things can get better, believing that you can heal, the self-talk that you have is so, so, so important. And this is a big part of my work as a health coach. Half of my work is really telling people about nutrition, about supplements, right? And how to heal. But another half is making people believe in themselves that they can actually do it. And this is so important because when your body has been down for so long, when you have been sick for so long, you need to hear that you can do it. You need to hear that you're strong. And you need to tell yourself that. You need to tell your body that you can do it. So I think that's a very important part. Also, another thing, being in nature, getting some sun, being in nature, it's so, so healing. Whether you like to be around trees, whether you like to be on the beach, whether you just like to hear a bird singing, it's just so important to do that for yourself, for your healing, for your soul.
So we'll get back to the show shortly. But before we do, I have a wee request. If you've been getting any value from any of the For Gut's Sake episodes, and would like the show to continue to grow to keep serving you and reaching more amazing and knowledgeable guests, then could you please leave a rating and review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify? Ratings and reviews really do make a big difference in attracting new listeners and helping this info reach the right people out there who really need help with their gut issues. So if you can spare a moment later and leave a rating and review, I'd be ridiculously grateful. Okay, let's get back to it. Okay, we're now on to the seventh piece of gut health advice, and this time it comes from Shan Nix-Jones. She's a journalist, author, and founder of Chuckling Goat, which is the UK's leading gut health company. In that episode, number 31, which was titled The Magic of Goat's Milk Kefir for Gut Health, Shan shares the amazing story about how she effectively saved her husband's life using this super probiotic drink made from goat's milk. And she also healed her son's recurring bronchitis and eczema using the goat's milk kefir as well. Shan's company now ships this amazing stuff to customers all over. Her knowledge on the gut microbiome, probiotics, and the gut-brain connection absolutely blew my mind in this episode. You talk about the four horsemen of the gut apocalypse, and that's basically a really cool term to explain all the main enemies to good gut health. So what are those four things that you talk about?
Sugar, stress, chemicals, and antibiotics. Your gut microbiome is like a fragile ecosystem, and I like to think of it like the Amazon rainforest, full of all beautiful little creatures, you know, birds and bugs and lizards and leaves and deer and tigers and jaguars all running around in this complex ecosystem. And like any ecosystem, it's fragile and it can be damaged. And the four horsemen of the gut apocalypse are those things that damage your gut health. Now, the problem is, show me someone who's not experiencing pressure from all of those things all the time. You know, we all take antibiotics, even if you're not taking them from the doctor. They're in the food chain, they're in the groundwater. Unfortunately, we're just soaking up antibiotics all the time. If you're leading a stress-free life, then you're doing better than I am, because we're all experiencing stress to some level. The chemicals, that's a huge issue. You know, antibacterial soap, for example, triclosan in your toothpaste, the things that are in air pollution, the things that are in plastic, you know, phthalate, all of these things actually leach into your system and change the DNA of your cells. It's so scary. The average woman hosts 515 chemicals by the time she steps out of the bathroom in the morning. By the time you've had your shampoo and your conditioner and your soap and your makeup and your, you know, and all these things, they soak into your skin. Your skin is the outer layer of your immune system. It's all connected. So you put stuff on your skin and it goes right into your system. And that's why women are about 70% of the autoimmune population, because it's women who are using the makeup and using the cleaning products and exposing themselves to these chemicals all the time. So it's far more women than men experience autoimmune issues. And autoimmune issues are anything that is tied to the microbiome. So eczema, psoriasis, rosacea, acne, IBS, anxiety, depression, chronic fatigue, lupus, arthritis, diabetes type 2, obesity, all these things are linked to the microbiome. And the other thing is age. I mean, the sad fact is your microbiome, if left to itself, simply becomes depleted over time because these pressures are all sort of pressing down on it all the time. And it is characteristic of the microbiome of an older person that there are fewer strains present. It just gets depleted. So you've got to sort of push that back intentionally and with the biohacking. And kefir is the best way that I know to do that. That was in the early days. Now we know that kefir plus prebiotic is even more powerful. So the kefir is the live bacteria, like bees, and the prebiotic is like the flowers. It's like what feeds the bees. And those two things together create an incredibly powerful impact.
Mike Sweeney is the type of guy that I could listen to all day when it comes to gut health, fitness, nutrition, even mindset. The guy was just a fountain of knowledge, and he was an amazing guest to have on the show because he's been on both sides of the fence. These days, Mike is a dietitian working in the NHS, but at the same time, Mike is just like you and me because his backstory is one where he struggled with obesity, alcoholism, mental health issues, and IBS. Mike managed to overcome all of that. He's in great shape now, and he now dedicates his work to helping people overcome digestive issues and other chronic conditions like type 2 diabetes. One thing I can tell you is when I was struggling with IBS like over a decade ago, the biggest problem for me was dealing with constipation. It was a complete nightmare. And towards the end of this episode, Mike shared an amazing piece of advice that's dead simple to implement that will help you relieve constipation naturally.
If you do become constipated, golden linseeds will fix that 100% of the time, never fails to work. You can take 1 or 2 tablespoons a day, lots of water. There's a phytochemical in golden linseeds that acts as a very, very mild laxative. It's so mild, it literally takes 2 or 3 days to start working. But that alleviates any constipation whatsoever. I've even had kids take golden linseeds and they've come off all of the Morvicol that they've been on and completely normalized their bowel movements. So of course you have linseeds and golden linseeds. So it's the golden variety that you need. I mean, you can go to the health food shops if you want to get ripped off, but you can go to the supermarkets in the baking aisle and literally grab a packet for like 80 pence. And honestly, it just works every single time. I've had 5-6-year-old kids, they've come into my clinical practice, they're on 10 Morvicol a day. You know, this one specific case comes to mind. This kid was on 10 Morvicol a day. The doctor was sending him for all sorts of investigations. They thought he might have had some sort of like neurological dysfunction of his bowel. And when he first landed in my office, I was like, this is way above my pay grade. Like neurological this, I don't even know what to do here. At the time, I remember saying to the mum, I was like, look, this is a bit of a punt, but based on the symptoms you report in, I think let's just try this. And I remember saying to her, like, I'm not sure about this. Like, nothing bad was going to happen, of course, but I just wasn't sure if it was going to work for him. Like, would it just continue to be bad or would things improve? I wasn't sure. And we got him on the golden linseeds. Literally within 3 weeks, he was off all of his Morvicol, bowel movements completely normalized. And yeah, that was a really good, because of course I write to doctors to tell them what we've done, if it worked or not, etc. And those are my favorite letters to write to doctors, just to be like, yeah, like you presented with this, we did this. And yeah, that story always sticks in my head.
We're now on to health tip number 9. This comes from Niraj Nayak. This guy was probably my favorite guest that I've had on the podcast. I've been a follower of Niraj's work for many years, so I was absolutely buzzing when he agreed to come on the podcast. He's the founder of global breathwork organization Soma Breath, and he has this incredible story about how breathwork was crucial in helping him heal ulcerative colitis. So let's now hear from Niraj, where he talks about how the power of breathwork, coupled with special affirmations, have this amazing healing effect on the body.
So there's a whole range of breathing exercises. The first exercise I did is where you extend your exhalation. You do rhythmic breathing where you double your exhale time versus your inhale time. So breathing in for 2 beats, out for 4 beats, over and over, and then a pause at the end where you hold your breath on the exhale. This rhythm is known, it's shown in various studies where you have a ratio of double your exhale versus your inhale time, right? Is shown to be one of the best for reoxygenation of your body tissue cells. I don't mean the blood cells. I mean the body tissue cells, the brain, the heart, your organs, your muscles, your gut. Right? Your guts actually uses up a lot of oxygen and needs a lot of oxygenation. Now, when you're very stressed and if you hyperventilate, for example, when you're stressed, like if you breathe through your mouth, for example, I didn't know the difference between nasal breathing and mouth breathing back then. Now I do. Mm-hmm. But I probably was huffing and puffing a lot. I was stressed out. I wasn't breathing very well. I was probably hyperventilating in my sleep even, right? And hyperventilation means you get less oxygen to your brain, your heart, your muscles, your tissues, joints, and your gut. It creates stress on the body, hyperventilation. So when you slow your breathing down and you double your exhale time, you actually allow the oxygenation to happen much more efficiently. And also the double exhale time switches on the parasympathetic, because when you breathe in, you stimulate sympathetic. When you breathe out, you stimulate parasympathetic. So if you breathe out longer than you breathe in a rhythm, you actually turn on the parasympathetic. Now, the other thing is, if you breathe in a perfect rhythm, this is the foundation of yogic breathing. Because every single function in your body is rhythmical. We have biorhythms. We have like infradian rhythms, circadian, ultradian rhythms. Like menstrual cycle is a rhythm. The heartbeat, the pulse is a rhythm. The digestive cycle is a rhythm. So when you get stressed out, it throws your rhythms off balance. But then there's other breathing techniques. So there's more powerful breathing techniques that involve breath holding for like long periods of time, which is what I started to do as well. I discovered the work of a guy called Prakash Marsh, who talked about technical Nisheshara Chakra, which is breath holding to maximum possible effort, which creates a positive stress response in the body. Later on, I met Wim Hof, who does similar techniques. And he has amazing results with clients too, actually, the Wim Hof method. And I actually became his right-hand man and made the music to the Wim Hof method. So this technique was very profound for accelerating healing in the body and directing healing. And I used this process of scientific prayers with rhythmic breathing and breath holding with music. It was all designed to reformat, reprogram the operating system of the mind, clear out those thought viruses, change hate to love, to create a more optimistic view of the world and to start getting excited about life again. The first one comes from Dr. Joseph Murphy's book, Power of the Subconscious Mind, and it's the one I use religiously, and I still do. And that is, I am whole, perfect, strong, loving, harmonious, and happy. So you just say over and over again, but with absolute conviction, with absolute belief, right? I am whole, perfect, strong, loving, harmonious, and happy. And you just say that over and over again. Say that affirmation over and over, that slow rhythmic breathing techniques, and watch the magic happen. And I've actually taught that to many people since, and I've seen loads of amazing success stories with just that one magic mantra. And it's just an I am statement. It's a present moment statement where you're bringing the future, what you want, into the present as though it's happened. And you're saying, I am whole, I'm perfect, I'm strong, I'm loving, harmonious, and happy. And when you do that, with a smile starts to come on your face, especially with you using the music and other techniques, and you start to believe it. And every single cell of your being gets programmed now with a better belief system.
On to the final guest and the final piece of health advice, coming from Bethany O'Toole. And her main message is just, don't try to fix everything at once. In episode 30, Bethany spoke about how she battled both IBS and endometriosis. I connected with Bethany on Instagram, and I just really loved the content that she was putting out there. Her knowledge on IBS and the gut microbiome is miles ahead of most other gut health figures that I see online. If I'm being honest, there's a lot of people out there talking about gut health these days, and they kind of say quite a lot of the same stuff. And for me, I really want to get some forward-thinking people on this podcast who share new ideas, who don't just repeat what other people are saying. Bethany ticked all of those boxes. And the thing I loved about Bethany the most was that she was just real. She shared her own story, warts and all the struggles she went through, all the difficult times, and how that's now given her a passion to help other people who were once in her shoes. Let's now hear Bethany talk about the key pieces of advice that she shares with clients.
So I tried, like, just trying a gluten-free diet. You know, I did that for a long time, and I'm not saying that's not helpful, because it was absolutely helpful for me. But just doing that alone and then not working on healing the gut, it only got me so far. I tried a lot. And I know a lot of people who have been in similar situations to ours will have tried everything. And I actually just wish that, you know, 15 years ago, there was a practitioner that I could have worked with who could have helped me with it, because it was so overwhelming. Like, there was so much information to take in that sometimes it was like, I actually don't know which way to go. So the lesson is, if you can afford to work with a practitioner, do, because they take a lot of the guesswork out of it for you and a lot of the overwhelm. But also I would say, don't try and do everything at once, because you are just going to fail. And I've done that, where I'm like, I'm fasting, I'm juicing. Like, I went down all these rabbit holes. I'm fasting, I'm juicing, I'm going to spin classes, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I just ended up wrecking myself. I actually made myself worse in this journey in parts because of what I did. So I've learned a lot of hard lessons. But yeah, I would say to people, it can be really overwhelming. Don't give up hope. And one of the key things for me was to not hyper-focus on the way that I was feeling every day, but checking in with myself at the end of every week, saying like, okay, what's been good and what's been bad? Because you actually forget what the pain is like. And then when you reassess the previous week, like, oh, the pain has probably been half compared to what it was before. But it's not, when you're in that healing journey, sometimes you can forget how bad it was. So it's about checking in with yourself, but without that becoming a hyper-focus, which is a very fine line. And I know that.
Okay, guys, thanks for tuning into that episode. We had some amazing guests over this past year, and I definitely want to keep bringing many, many more onto the For Gut's Sake podcast to help us all become healthier, stronger, better versions of ourselves, and say goodbye to those horrendous gut issues that we've all dealt with from time to time. Okay, have an amazing day, and I will catch you in the next episode.